Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today our topic is Mountain Moving Mantra. Mountains have long represented problems to be solved, obstacles to be overcome, burdens to be borne, troubles to be triumphed over, difficulties to be dealt with. Death is a mountain. Sickness is a mountain. Family crises are a mountain. Unpaid bills are mountains. Rebellious children, unfaithful husbands and wives are mountains. Lying friends are mountains. Addicted loved ones are mountains. A mountain is anything that's contrary to the Word of God for your life. A mountain is anything that is impeding your progress back home, back to the kingdom of God. Many people try to move their mountains by praying to God. They ask God, or Krishna, which is our name for God, to move their mountains for them. They describe the mountain in full detail, the length of it, the breadth of it, the exact dimensions of it. They cry and moan about what a hindrance the mountain is in their life. Many devotees pray to Krishna to speak to their mountains on their behalf. But here's our message today. Krishna is not going to do for you what he wants you to do for yourself. God or Krishna has invested in humankind and humankind only the power of speech. None of God's other creatures have this power save man. Krishna or God's power is shown particularly and uniquely through man and through the power of speech. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna has given mankind the power and the authority to speak directly to their mountains in His name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When you address sickness in the name of the Lord, debt in the name of the Lord, addictions in the name of the Lord, you are Krishna or God's mouthpiece. You're speaking on His authority. When you're speaking Krishna's holy name to your mountains, you're not groveling. You're not saying, pretty please. You're not asking. You're not begging. You are commanding in the name of God that obstacle to stop impeding your march and the march of your loved ones back home, back to Godhead. I've learned that if you don't speak to your mountains are going to speak to you. All day long, your mountains are going to say, you're never going to get well. You know your grandmother died of the same thing. You're never going to get out of debt. Your business is going to go under. Your marriage is never going to make it. All those never words are the words of the mountains getting the edge on you. The words of the mountains getting bigger and stronger and seemingly more and more insurmountable. Get over listening to the never words. The mountains will tell you, you'll never get over that addiction. You've had it since high school. You'll never lose the weight. You've struggled for years. You'll never accomplish your dreams. There are too many obstacles. Your mountains respond to your voice. When it hears never, the mountain gets higher and bigger. When it hears Hare Krishna, it shrinks. It gets smaller. So you get to decide whether your mountains get bigger or whether they get smaller by the words that you speak. The key is don't speak about your mountain, speak to your mountain. Don't focus on the size of your mountain, focus on the size of your God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Size is largely a matter of perspective, isn't it? Heard a story about a quiet Saturday afternoon. Several men were sitting in a saloon in the Old West when suddenly old Jeb comes busting through the doors hollering, Big John is coming to town. Everybody clears out as fast as they can. T tables and chairs are overturned and the rush out the exit doors. Only the saloon keeper is left trying to lock up when a man comes galloping down Main Street on a huge bull buffalo. He dismounts, grabs the buffalo by the horns, bites him on his upper lip, kicks him in the rib, and orders him stay. The buffalo cowers submissively. The man rips the saloon's batwing doors from their hinges, stomps in, and catches the bartender. "Hold up," the stranger orders. "I got a hankering for a drink." The saloon keeper is paralyzed with fear. The stranger is 7.5 feet tall. He outweighs a full-grown grizzly. He wears rattlesnake chaps, a greasy rawhide shirt, a filthy torn Stetson, and steel-tipped fighting boots. On his scarred face is a look of cruel, insane meanness. "Right away, sir," the trembling bartender fetches a bottle. The stranger seizes the bottle, smashes the neck off on the edge of the bar, tilts it back, and drains the contents in one gulp. "Would you like another, sir?" the bartender stammers. The stranger wipes his mouth with the back of his hand, says, "I don't have time. I got to get out of here. Haven't you heard? Big John is coming to town." What do we learn from this story? Size is a matter of perspective. To a child, you may be a giant. To a professional wrestler, you may be a dwarf in comparison. Mountain-moving faith is a matter of perspective. You don't deny the existence of the mountain. You don't deny its size. You see the mountain is there, and you see that it's big, but you see God as bigger than any mountain. Let me ask you this. Have you ever looked at the stars through a telescope? The telescope doesn't make the stars bigger. It just lets you see the star as larger. My guess is that just about everybody who's here this afternoon believes in God, just like you believe there are stars in the sky. But our question is, do you believe that God is bigger than any mountain? Do you believe that God is bigger than your circumstances, bigger than your boss and your scheming enemies, bigger than the economy, bigger than temptation, bigger than life, and bigger than death? What's your perspective? We're fortunate as heirs to the Vedic culture because in our literature, like the Mahabharata and the great Ramayana, we actually have specific detailed accounts of where God killed Goliath-like mountainous demons. And I'll just share one of these narrations from the Ramayana. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. Rama refers to an incarnation of the Lord who appeared many millions of years ago. He faced the brother of Ravana, Kumbhakarna. Kumbhakarna was so mountainous that he would sleep for as much as 6 months at a time. After sleeping for 6 months at a time, when he would be roused and get up, he was hungry. And the only way to sate his hunger, he wasn't a vegetarian, they would drive herds of cattle into his mouth. In order to do battle with Ram, Kumbhakarna was woken up prematurely, which put him in a really bad mood. And after drinking an ocean of water and eating herds and herds of cows, he appeared on the battlefield before Lord Rama. Kumbhakarna rushed towards Rama, causing the earth to tremble. Using the mystic weapon given to him by Shiva, Ram shot pointed arrows into Kumbhakarna's heart. When wounded by Rama, Kumbhakarna suddenly lunged toward Ram as flames interspersed with sparks left from his mouth. Angry as he was, Kumbhakarna roared as he rushed forward. Ram's arrows, fitted with peacock feathers, sunk into Kumbhakarna's chest. Kumbhakarna let go of his mace, dropping it on the ground. All his other weapons were also scattered. Seizing a mountain peak, the mighty cannibal hurled it at Ram. Using his bow, Ram split that mountain peak while it was yet flying through the air with 7 straight shooting arrows. Then the virtuous Ram burst the mountain peak with golden arrows. Enraged by the twang of Rama's bow and unable to bear it, Kumbhakarna rushed forward. Then Ram spoke as follows. Come on, O Lord of the Rakshasas, do not be so despondent. I am standing here gripping my bow. Know me to be the destroyer of the Rakshasa race. You will shortly be deprived of your life. Then Rama took a sharp arrow fitted with fine feathers that shone like the sun. That arrow was swift as Indra's thunderbolt and directed it at the night stalker. Lighting up the 10 directions with its effulgence, the arrow discharged by Ram's arm flew with great speed. It was frightening to see and resembled a smokeless fire. Severed by Ram's arrow, the Rakshasa's head, which resembled a mountain, fell inside the city, destroying houses and gateways along the royal highway, as well as the defensive wall. Kumbhakarna's body toppled. The giant Rakshasa demon, who looked like a Himalayan mountain, then fell into the ocean. After that, it says, when Kumbhakarna, the enemy of the righteous, was killed in combat, the earth and all the mountains shook, and the gods raised a tumultuous shout of joy. Then the celestial sages, great serpents, gods, ghosts, birds, guyakas, yakshas, and bindharvas were overjoyed by Rama's prowess. When you start speaking to your mountains, they may not move out of the way as quickly as Ram moved Kumbhakarna into the ocean. But know this, the moment that you start speaking to your mountains, that's the moment that Krishna releases favor in your direction. That's the moment that he starts moving the wrong people out of the way and the right people into the way. The moment he sends healing. The moment he sends breakthroughs. The moment he prepares the way for your victory. If you just keep speaking, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one day that mountain will be totally removed. We have a better weapon than sword or guns. We have the weapon of the holy name of the Lord, who will fight our battles on our behalf. All the powers of heaven come to attention when they hear the name of the Lord. Enemies may come at us from all directions with a natural force, but the Lord replies to them with his supernatural power. He knows of your courage to speak light into the darkness. He notes that you're not speaking to him about how high your mountain is, but you're speaking to your mountain about how high your God is. Even if what you say impresses no one else, it impresses God. He listens intently, carefully. The words that we speak are honored as precious jewels. Purified and empowered, those words rise in a delightful fragrance to our Lord. The power of our words do not depend upon we who make the prayer, but on he who hears. One name for Krishna is Giridhari. This is Krishna lifting a mountain. Literally 5,300 years ago, Indra, the king of rain, became upset at the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the village of Krishna, which would be like our Bethlehem. And he attempted to destroy the village by invoking the clouds of universal destruction that are only used at the annihilation of the universe. Rain was coming down like pillars, snow, sleet, hail. In order to counteract this onslaught by Indra, Krishna, who was only in the seventh year of his manifested pastimes, lifted the nearby mountain, Govardhan Mountain, with the little finger of his left hand, held it aloof as easy as a child holds a mushroom, for no less than 7 days and nights, while the rain pounded down. He invited all the inhabitants, all the cows, to come under the umbrella of the hill, where they were warm and dry. They sang and they danced and played games for 7 days until Indra realized the error of his ways, caused the rains to cease and desist, came down and bowed, asked apology at Krishna's lotus feet. God is the creator of millions of mountains. When you think about it, how much does this planet weigh? How many millions, if not billions of tons, does this planet weigh? And yet it is floating in thin air. Did you ever think about by whose power the planets are floating in thin air as lightly as wisps of cotton? I'll tell you. By the power of the supreme physicist, Krishna. He can lift a mountain, he can lift universes as effortlessly as a child lifts balls of cotton. Now, if we rely on ourselves and our own predictions and our own calculations of matter, we limit outcomes. If you'll just add Krishna or God into the equation, you'll step over into a vast world of possibilities. Before creation, it was nothing. And Krishna, out of nothing, created millions and millions of universes simply by speaking them into being. Om is the seed, the sound seed from which all the universes come. It is a seed of creation. In the beginning, only God's speech, only God's word was sufficient to create millions and millions of possibilities. If we, for instance, were to decorate even one tree with leaves, it would take us weeks. But God doesn't require any engineering, mechanical work. Simply His Om is sufficient. Millions of worlds come into being. My question to you is, if you're doing His work, dedicating yourself to His service, that one small mountain, whether it be sickness or death or addictions or family relationships, can keep you from your destiny? He can move mountains because He is the maker of millions and millions of mountains. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here it is said in our Back to Godhead magazine, we souls in the material world have become so involved with our negative materialistic mindsets that it is as if our hearts have become buried in a gloomy mountain of sinful desire. The lotus feet of the Lord, however, are like brilliant thunderbolts that can shatter these mountains and illuminate our true consciousness. When you face difficulty, stop crying. Stop complaining. Stop moaning. Stop begging. Stop groveling. Stop praying to the Lord to do for you what He wants you to do for yourself. Friends, Krishna knows how to get you to where you need to be. You just have to do your part. Show a mustard seed of faith. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is there a mountain in your life keeping you from your best? My challenge is to start speaking to your mountains in the name of the Lord. You've prayed, you've hoped, you've believed long enough. Your mountain will respond to your voice. There's nothing more powerful than you declaring victory over your life. Some of you have talked about the mountain long enough. You need to start talking to the mountain. If you rise up and say to the sickness, say to the strife, say to the depression, say to the addiction, be gone, Krishna will turn your mountains into molehills. He'll remove obstacles that looked insurmountable. In this life, you'll accomplish dreams that looked impossible. And in the next life, you'll go back home, back to God. Thank you very much for your kind attention. And if you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare.